A bit over a year ago, I was in the office here and I had a silly thought. I was standing near the team and one of the team members, Vanessa, mentioned just in passing that it was her sister's birthday. Now, I never met her sister in my life. I don't know her name, but I thought to myself, wouldn't it be funny if I just write in my Google Calendar her birthday for next year and then next year congratulate her as if I really, you know, thought about this birthday from long ago. So a couple of weeks ago, it was her birthday, and I sent this message. Hi, Nez, happy birthday to your sister. And Vanessa, this was 8 a.m. in the morning, and Vanessa got back to me. How do you know that? And then, did I accidentally message you instead of my sister? Poor Vanessa went on to, I cannot remember if I mentioned it or how you have figured it out. To which I replied, ha ha. You mentioned it in passing last year. See, to Vanessa's amazement, this wasn't a random event. I planned this message a whole year ago, long before she could have even remembered telling me. And I waited. I waited until the appointed time for me to gladly extend my best wishes to her sister. Now, my quirky little message was preordained. The reason why I'm telling you this funny story is because it illustrates a very important truth about the event we're celebrating, we're remembering today, and that is that the cross was preordained. Sometimes we look at the scene of the cross and from a distance and from at first glance, and it can just appear like Jesus was the subject of poor circumstance. He just fell into some terrible historical events because he angered the wrong religious leaders at the wrong time and in the wrong place. Yes, he managed to do some great stuff while he lived on earth. He managed to spread a message of peace. But in the end, he went helplessly to his end. This couldn't be further from the truth. See, God made it clear that he would save his people in this way long before the time of Jesus. As we read in the first reading from the prophet Isaiah, who lived long before the birth of Christ, like in the 8th century or thereabouts, he prophesied that there would be a suffering servant. We know today who Isaiah was speaking about when he spoke about the servant who would suffer. He says, "And yet ours were the sufferings he bore, ours the sorrows he carried. But we thought of him as someone punished, struck by God, and brought low. He was pierced through for our faults, crushed for our sins. On him lies punishment that brings us peace, and through his wounds we are healed." What a striking prophecy. That prediction about Jesus, that he would bear our sufferings, take our sins on himself, would be pierced as he was in the side with the lance, and that he would remove the guilt of his people. Yes, the cross was premeditated. God planned that his suffering servant at the appointed time in history would die on the cross for the forgiveness of sins. And Jesus freely took this up. We just heard Pilate's interaction with Jesus, where Pilate says to Jesus, "Surely you know I have power to release you, and I have power to crucify you." And Jesus replied, "You would have no power over me if it had not been given you from above." Jesus freely, willingly went to the cross. But why? Why save us in this way? Why go to such extreme measures? Well, Isaiah said it. Through his wounds, we are healed. Jesus came to heal us from what ails us the most, what we couldn't save ourselves from, the power of sin, evil, and death. He came to liberate us. Now, it's easy to see this evil, sin, and death in the world. It can be easy to see it in the world. You know, we can see the result of natural evil. We can see the result of the potential of evil in the human heart, of darkness in the human heart. The world needs Jesus. However, as Father Dan so beautifully said last night, at times it can be difficult to look upon our own hearts and see the need for Jesus, our Savior, ourselves. I'm a pretty good person. What do I need this for? If we're honest, if we look at ourselves with humility, as we're called to today, we carry in our hearts times when we've fallen short of being the people we should have been. We experience relationship breakdown because of our own sin. And even at times we experience difficulties on our end with the relationship with God. This is not what Jesus wants for us in our lives. Jesus said very clearly in John 10:10, I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus intends that we find life in him and experience a rich relationship with him. Starting now, this richness, and then welling up into eternity. He showed us by his actions that he would go to extreme lengths to accomplish this. See, he didn't just stand back and respond to this need. He didn't just stay in the heavens and like pronounce forgiveness. You're all forgiven, it's fine. He chose to come to earth, to come to our reality, to redeem us from the inside, to heal us from within our reality. St. John Paul II has this amazing quote. In this letter he wrote about redemptive suffering, he said, by his suffering on the cross, Christ reached the very roots of evil, of sin and death. Jesus willingly entered into the very roots of evil, sin and death. He was perfectly innocent, but he took on himself the experience of suffering caused by sin, evil, disobedience, violence upon himself freely. And then he offered himself as a sacrifice. And in doing so, what we couldn't do in our own power, he overcame the power of evil, sin, and darkness by rising from the dead. What does this communicate to us? Let's just pause for a moment. Let's just look at this scene of the suffering servant healing us by his wounds. You know, the old adage, actions speak louder than words. His actions, as we stare upon this reality, this event that we celebrate, we remember, they communicate to us that we are so intimately loved. He came to the very root of our sin, evil, and darkness, came within our reality to redeem us there, to where we need him the most. His actions, such extreme lengths to take suffering upon himself, shouts at us that I love you, that our Savior has an immense love for us. His love is beyond words. It's what we remember at Easter, that a mighty love has come to earth to save us, to heal us. There's this beautiful hymn that we, as priests and others, I'm sure, we sing in the morning, in our morning prayer. It says, free us from sin, by might of thy great loving. Free us from sin by might of thy great loving. We're freed, liberated, set free from that which ails us the most by might of great loving, by an immense love. That's the cross. That's what hung Jesus to the cross, a mighty love for all of us. So perfectly describes the cross. At times in life, we experience suffering, experience of evil in our lives. And what Easter teaches us is that there is no place, physical, psychological, emotional, spiritual, that is too far from the mighty love of Jesus. There is nothing that cannot be illuminated by his light. There is no place too far from the mighty love of our God. That's the cross. And so today we stare at this amazing love for us, this redemptive love, and we think to ourselves in humility, just pause and just think, what do I need a mighty love to heal? We will have actually a moment as an embodied people, as a physical people, we'll have a symbol, we'll actually have a crucifix in front of us. And as we go up, our hearts and our spirits, we bring what we need healing for. We bring what we're carrying. We bring the darkness of our hearts to this image of the mighty love that's really present today. This mighty sacrificial love that is really present here. And we bow and we venerate the cross, this symbol here, because we know that truly present is the redemptive love that sets us free. So will you be brave enough today, as it's Good Friday, it's 3 p.m., to come and bow before the cross and ask the Lord to set free what you want freed by his mighty love of the cross. So Lord, we ask for your grace to come upon us, to be bold in that, to bring our hearts to you. In Jesus' name, amen.